Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, and around verse 27. And we left off here last week. Okay, here we can see the Apostle Paul. Okay, is bringing again the understanding of the church along. Okay, and showing them the responsibility to the covenant. And also by revealing these things, okay, we can also see a great distinction between substitutionism and propitiation. Okay, as we come here in verse 26, okay, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Okay, if the gospel is built upon substitutionism, okay, then this act right here would have completely remove any responsibility from the saints. Okay, completely removing choices of faith. Okay, but we know it has to do with his propitiatory sacrifice. It has to do with he sacrificed his blood to provide a covenant. And as he brings out here in verse 26, that he might sanctify, okay, and cleanse. Okay, now sanctifying to cleanse, which means he's bridging this offense by this vow of himself. He's bridging the offense, and he's providing himself as the point of contact. Okay, and by providing himself as the point of contact, he's also bridging the offense. Okay, and he might cleanse it by his vow. Okay, vow again has to do with the voice of the Lord, his oath and his word. Okay, V-O-W. Okay, the voice of the Lord, his oath and his word, because the word of his oath is that voice. Okay, the word of his oath, okay, is revealed in the voice of the Lord. Okay, so the Spirit is making known unto us, okay, the conditions which he has set for our faith to be expressed with, and the knowledge which we must use to reciprocate with. Okay, now, if he was a substitute, then this act would require no responsibility of choice, and remove the sovereignty of choice from man, okay, and set it within, okay, the perimeters, okay, of just a form of acknowledgement without responsibility. But the word believe has to do with as to acknowledge, to mold with, and submit to. Okay, to acknowledge as concerning this testimony, okay, and to mold with this judgment. Okay, so to acknowledge, to mold with, and to submit to has to do with a form of activity and responsibility, which is the second covenant priesthood. Okay. Now we see that second covenant priesthood puts it within also this mindset, with a washing of water by the word. So you might want to underline the word there in verse 26. Okay. So by understanding this, the difference between substitution and propitiation, we can see that we have to do something with this knowledge that he's provided for us. Okay. Jesus died on the cross as, okay, our covenant. Okay. And by doing this, okay, he atoned for our sin. Okay, so with the washing of water by the word. What's interesting, okay, is that in the beginning of Genesis, we see that God separated the waters from the waters by providing another substance between them called the firmament. Okay, and this he did within every one of the heavens. Okay, and also in every one of the heavens, he also assigned order for increase. Okay, as also in the seventh heaven, as also in this the first heaven. Okay, and so in dividing the waters from the waters, Jesus being baptized in water was showing that he himself was entering into this dimension. He entered into this dimension for its cleansing. Okay, and entering into this dimension for its cleansing, he became the bridge with this breach. Okay, now the breach which God set within this dimension was death. Okay, death entered into the world because of sin. Okay, and when death entered into this dimension of waters, okay, it brought another power. Okay, death is another power. Now God created death and set it within this dimension in order to provide contrariness and contrast, so that we would be able to exercise our will intelligently, exercise our will, okay, our will of choice, either to resist the evil and to embrace the good, as the Apostle Peter also brings out, okay, and the Apostle Paul writes about, okay, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Okay, so by providing this contrast, okay, and coming into these waters, he provided himself as that bridge, okay, a bridge to this breach. Okay, and so the washing, and this is why I bring out here the word water there in verse 26, okay, that God selected that as a symbolism, okay, of this dimension, okay, and he came into this dimension, okay, to redeem us to himself by that word, okay, by the word, by this, by a new form of knowledge, okay, which does not exist within the imagination of man, but resists, or and it exists within the bosom of God. Okay, it exists in the bosom of our Father. So Jesus, in his ministry, okay, talked about as concerning that I came not on my own will, but my Father sent me. Okay, and by meaning this is that he is using himself as a bridge, okay, for the purpose of bringing a people back to himself. Okay, but okay, he had to provide an environment for choice, okay, and he also had to provide knowledge, okay, for this for the expression of that choice. So, when we go in verse 27, okay, the word might there, that he might present it to himself. Okay, now the word might, okay, here has to do with that. It's not on the part of God questioning, but rather on the part of our choosing. Okay, that he might present it to himself. Okay, it's not as if God is in a state of indecision. Okay, the word might there. Okay, as some have read this in time past, that the word might has to do with as if God is in a state of indecision. Okay, but the word might has to do with the state of our choice. The state of our choice depends upon whether we function, okay, with the terms of the covenant or reject it. So that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Okay, now the word glorious church there has to do with that those which select and choose righteousness, okay, will be those which also, okay, will increase the pleasure of God, which has to do with that virtue, which he is seeding within us and nurturing within us. Okay, and by this nurturement, okay, we're increasing his house. So the word glorious there has to do with the form of nurturement of increase, a glorious church that doesn't stay at one. It does not stay at one point. Okay, and it doesn't stagnate. Okay, but rather it's living. Okay. So by the washing of the word, okay, the word sanctify, so he's bridging the offense by this vow, which God swore by himself. Okay, and this revelation, okay, is also revealed in the manner of communication which he spoke to Abraham. When he said to Abraham, say, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Okay, and saying this, okay, God saying that the Spirit is the one that's going to initiate and to sustain this plan, okay, based upon your cooperation. And surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. So when after Abraham believed, he received the promise. After Abraham believed, then he received that promise. Okay, and then God communicated to him, okay, on the conditions of that choice, that the Spirit will initiate order in your life. Okay, as he also said to Abraham, fear not, Abraham. Okay, I am your shield and exceeding great reward. Okay, and so by saying those things, fear not, Abraham, because I'm sending you as light in the midst of chaos. I'm sending you light in the midst of darkness. Okay, and the word which I have given unto you, okay, is the word of my oath, which stands forever and cannot be altered or changed. The knowledge that is surrounding you is false knowledge. Okay, now when Jesus came into this dimension, okay, they which sat in darkness saw great light. Okay, Jesus being that bridge, provided himself as a point of contact for the faith of the people. Okay, now this point of contact, he selected himself to be that point of contact. He says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whereas he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Okay, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Okay, and learning of me has to do with the knowledge which I have given unto you, okay, will give you faith. Okay, we'll give you faith and we'll wash you. Okay, and through this form of contact, okay, going back to verse 27, okay, it's going to increase. Okay, as Jesus also mentioned, that unless a corn of wheat falls in the ground, okay, and dies, it abides alone. So he is referring to himself as being a pattern for a new covenant, a new people. Okay, just like an apple seed. Okay, unless if an apple seed remains in the hand of the sower, okay, it doesn't really profit him anything. Okay, it's when he engages that seed within the dimension of his design, which is the soil, okay, that it becomes prosperous, it's nurtured, okay, and it grows into a tree. Its offspring is greater than its parent. And so Jesus is saying, unless I die, that is going to the cross to provide a covenant for you, okay, that which I have designed within myself for you will never be realized, okay, in the bosom of the Father. Now we see this in the book of Revelation. Okay, so we are that tree, okay, which he is nurturing right now. Okay, in this tree which he is nurturing right now, whereas he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay, referring to that point of contact for increase. So that as long as we remain joined to him, the church becomes a glorious church. Okay, now it becomes a glorious church, and notice that he also prunes it. Okay, as also Jesus said. Okay, that when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now he prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now Jesus was communicating this before he went to the cross, okay, and he's still communicating these things to the saints and to his apostles afterwards. Okay, concerning spot without having no spot nor wrinkle. Okay, that he might present it to himself. Now that's an interesting word there, as concerning himself. Okay, now how can he present something to himself? Well, he provided himself for that point of contact. Okay, because anything less than himself, okay, it doesn't qualify, and it is not qualified. Okay, for the reward of the inheritance. It has to be equal to himself, okay, to be qualified. So he had to present himself as that point of contact for our reciprocation. This is what we do within a priesthood. After that, order Melchizedek. Okay, the Melchizedek priesthood, okay, is that communication of knowledge which is sanctified for faith. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Now we talked about the word glorious there. See, so the word glorious has to do when as the church receives this knowledge, okay, it begins to go through different stages of growth for perfection. Okay, but each stage that it goes through, okay, is a perfected stage. Okay, and that last stage is entering the bosom of the Father. Okay, but the Apostle John speaks of this in the book of the Epistle of John, okay, where he talks about little children. Okay, young men and fathers. Okay, each stage the Apostle John is identifying, it will be a stage of perfection. Okay, as a tree goes through each stage of perfection, and each cycle of growth. In each season, it goes through a state of perfection. Okay, and then when it reaches another state of perfection, okay, the Lord said after it has rested for that 1 year. Okay, or 3 years, depending upon how he wants to appoint it. Okay, then you're able to partake of its fruit. Okay, and its fruit is also valid to be brought to the temple. Okay, and it's the same thing with the cycles of our own growth. Okay, and our priesthood. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, as being absent of blemish, okay, not having spot or wrinkle, okay, which is found within the moral code. Okay, because the moral code carries the aspiration, the signature, the principle, the imagination of man. Okay, in other words, when we try to offer to God something that we value, that's called evil favoredness. Evil favoredness is that we feel that we have something that's within our own nature. Okay, that God will accept, okay, as a form of atonement to redeem our soul. Okay, but there is nothing that lies within us that's equal to God, other than God Himself. So that's why it's important for the soul to be engrafted with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, okay, which is the first tool of your priesthood. Okay, and using this first tool of the priesthood, according to God's design, okay, then we come to this next stage, having not having spot or wrinkle. Okay, when people try to approach God on the basis of their own kind, okay, which has to do with their frailty, okay, and every Sunday, okay, those which attend those assemblies, okay, that are outside of covenant, continually address the address from the pulpit the frailty of man, okay, and set challenges for his perfection. Okay, they set challenges for his perfection as concerning his attitudes and his choices of life. And from the pulpit, they continue to preach those things which involve the issues and relationships. And man, okay, that is under the spell of that knowledge, continues to try to perfect himself and puts him on a journey of holiness. Okay, and through all this form of contact and the knowledge that that tailors his perception to that, it keeps him from the priesthood of faith. Okay, so that when he tries to commune with God on the grounds of his own frailty, okay, and tries to resolve those things with his imagination, okay, and every assembly is involved within that form of, okay, that system of thinking, okay, there is no perfection being achieved, okay, other than that which is wishful thinking. So it puts them on a path of the path of holiness apart from holiness. So the Lord says, "Be you holy, for I am holy." Okay? And man constantly sets that challenge before him apart from the priesthood. Okay, and that challenge is set before him because he doesn't have the priesthood, because he's not he's trying to serve God in his own ignorance, okay? but trying to assimilate or position himself with the imagination, the moral code, to try to put himself in a position that's favorable, okay, favorable for God's involvement, that God will involve himself in resolving his issues and stand on the side of his principle. Okay? But God will not do that. God will never affirm your aspiration, and never will he confirm the principle of man. Okay? He only confirms Jesus Christ. Okay? And as long as Adamites are trying to position God, okay, for their own boast, okay, they're not rejoicing in the Lord, they're rejoicing in themselves. Okay, they're rejoicing in the flesh and not in Christ. But the Bible says, "He that glories, let him glory in the Lord." Okay, and the Apostle Paul saying these things in Corinthians, again, is bringing to the attention the saints there in Corinth, okay, as concerning the difference between the wisdom of the world and the power of God. Okay, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, as he says, but in the power of God. Now, if it stands in the power of God, then you're rejoicing in the Lord. Okay, that he that boasts, let him boast in the Lord. He that rejoices, let him rejoice in the Lord. But if it stands in the wisdom of men, which is a spirit of this world, then you're trying to, say, give the moral code a makeover of righteousness, okay, which was never intended for righteousness. The moral code was never intended for righteousness. Okay, because if the moral code was intended for righteousness, then man would never have been in a state of sin. But the scriptures say, "For all are under sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Okay, the sin has to do with the moral code. Okay, but the glory of God has to do with faith. The moral code cannot achieve that which faith can give. Okay, because if it be of a works, then it's of works of debt, which means it's those things which are in part or partial. Okay, that Adam always will try to utilize those things which are partial in order to try to partake of the wholeness. Okay, but God has provided Jesus for our fullness and wholeness. Okay, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, as the Apostle John said. Okay, and of his fullness have we received. Of his fullness have we received. That means the fullness has to do all the things of that of this covenant, second covenant, okay, are adequate for righteousness, okay, because this is what God has assigned for our faith to be exercised with, so that we will not have spot or wrinkle. Okay, that we will be no blemish, okay, and nothing in the moral code is found in faith. Okay, nothing, but the moral code itself is full of spot and wrinkle. Okay, it's full of spot and wrinkle because it continually carries those things which are of our aspiration and fear. It carries those things which are aspiration or fear. We try to set order and chaos by the moral code, and by that you have to use the principle. Okay, and when you use principle with principle, you only have friction, okay, and war. And as the scripture says in the book of James, whence comes wars and fightings among you, as also the Apostle Paul said. Okay? And so when he says, whence comes wars and fightings among you, okay, it's found, all those things are found in the moral code. Okay? Those things which God has assigned for the expression of the signature and for social order, okay, was not assigned for faith and covenant. Okay? It was only assigned for the purpose, okay, that the plan of God would continue to increase even if man didn't believe it. Okay? Even if man didn't believe it. You notice the kingdom of Pharaoh prospered and increased according to the pleasure of Pharaoh, but not according to the power of God. Okay, that was because it was assigned according to his signature. As it's also written, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in thee. Okay, and then he appointed one, okay, according to God's goodness, and to another to God's severity. The severity of his wrath. Okay, and so here he appointed Moses for the purpose of bridging that breach, okay, and deliverance of the children of Israel. Okay, and also he appointed Pharaoh for the purpose of withstanding that God, the testimony of God's involvement, would stand for a testimony of light throughout the whole world, throughout the whole known ancient world. Okay, and he did the same thing with Jesus. Okay, and he's going to do the same thing today, and is doing the same thing today. Okay, that even through the resistance, the testimony of God stands. And we see this also in Noah's Ark. Okay, Noah's Ark still stands as a beacon to this world and to this time. It stands as a testimony of God's righteous judgment, okay, and the state of man's wickedness. Why was the boat built? And why does it stand there today? It's a testimony of God's righteous judgments, okay, and also that it testifies against the wickedness of man. It's the same thing of the tribulation, okay, that is soon coming, okay, and the judgments which God sets in this world today, called the beginning of sorrows. Okay, that it stands as a testimony that man's heart is wicked. Okay. And the condition of the soul is reflected within the assigned judgments of the weather. Okay. The weather. Okay. As concerning too much rain or not enough rain. Okay. Or in one location and not another. Okay. Or out of season altogether. Okay. Such as rain in wintertime and snow in summertime. Okay. And snow in summertime. So even God assigns judgments out of seasons. Okay, in order to show man his wickedness and to make man ponder, okay, and to marvel, okay, and to see his own frailty. Okay, that's why God sets judgments into earth with such extremes: mudslides, earthquakes, tsunamis, okay, fires, and flood, okay, and all these numerous plagues, whether it be mad cow disease, the bird flu. Okay, or other plagues. He sets these things to show man his frailty. That he's showing that man has exalted himself, but God keeps abasing him. Okay, showing him that with all this technology and knowledge that you possess, you still cannot, okay, rectify yourself, or you cannot resolve your problems. Because every time you think you have resolved a problem, I'm going to put another mischief on it. I'm going to send another judgment on it. Okay, I'll send madness, okay, into your thoughts, that you become mad for the sight of your eyes and for the hearing of your ears. Okay, now let's go back here. We talked about the moral code a little bit. Now in verse 27. Okay, so without spot, okay, having no spot, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing that is concerning of the flesh, even of that first covenant, you can't offer unto God anything that's equal to him other than Christ himself. That's why the holy knowledge of God is necessary for your priesthood, in order for you to offer back unto him, okay, that which he has provided for us. Okay, that's what the anointing is for. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord, being that anointing, takes that which is put within the heart, in the foundation of the heart, which is truth, and through the confession of the lips, you will be saved. And that is charity one to another. That if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, that God's raised him from the dead, if you confess with your mouth, that God raised him from the dead, you should be saved. Okay, now we go back here again. But that it should be holy, which has to do with the second covenant, tools in your priesthood, and without blemish, being absent of any aspiration. The priesthood which God has provided for us is not that of our aspiration. It's for faith only. But God does involve himself in the affairs of men. He hasn't abandoned us, but rather through the priesthood he's joined to us, as the Apostle Paul brings out. But he that is joined in the Lord is one spirit. As our Father was involved with Jesus, even to the point of not only cleansing the lepers, but finding a coin in the fish's mouth, and walking on water, and resolving certain conflicts as concerning settling the sea and stopping the wind, which was a sign of his messiahship, not only a sign of messiahship, but also a sign of God's involvement to those that believe him. See, God does involve himself, but he involves himself in those of covenant. But those which were without covenant, they have been assigned unto his wrath. Verse 28, he goes on, so ought men to love their wives. He picks up the same theme as he brought out in verse 25. In verse 25, he's showing that a relationship is developed through contact, and that the purpose of contact is for increase. But we can understand this mystery unless God first sets order to our thinking, and that order is called truth. So he sets order to our thinking so that we can willingly cooperate with him. That our involvement with this kingdom is not by happen chance, but is by choice. It's not by happen chance, it's by choice. But those which are in substitutionism feel that they want their choice to be removed from them because they don't want to be responsible for themselves. They don't want to be responsible for their choices, so they want their choices removed from them so that all they have to do is show a form of cooperation only in carnal things. That is, they want a Jesus that will resolve the issues of their life, whether it be issues of relationships, or to stop the global warming, or for world peace. That's the kind of Jesus that they want, and that's the kind of Jesus they're going to get through the beast called the Antichrist. He's going to use the same knowledge, but with a different system. We can see also the same thing in the Old Testament. Whereas the house of Baal competed with the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem, that which is sanctified by God. So we can see that Satan has always created a rival to that which is of truth in order to compete with it. So Satan knows that in order to compete with truth, you have to look like it. That's what the beast is going to do. Satan is going to pretend he's Jesus. And by pretending Jesus, he's going to do the same things Jesus did, except for raising the dead alone. That he can't do, because he's not life, he's death. But he's going to walk on the water, he's going to multiply the bread, he's going to cleanse the lepers, he's going to cast out devils, he's going to show signs and wonders. But he's not the Christ, he's the beast, he's the Antichrist. He's going to do everything that Christ did, that Jesus Christ did in the first millennium, or in the first century, in the first century. Satan is going to imitate those things because that's the best way to deceive the world, to try to resolve their issues. Jesus did not come down to resolve issues. He came down to provide covenant. And we know he didn't come down to resolve issues because he said to that one man who said this, he says, Lord, I would that you would talk to my brother, that he would divide the inheritance with me. And what did Jesus say? Jesus did not sit down with him and try to counsel him concerning all the things of his moral code. Because what that man wanted was that he wanted Jesus to resolve the issues of his moral code. And Jesus said, I didn't come down for the purpose of counseling every individual on the nuances of the moral code and the conflicts that exist within it. I came down here to provide myself as a covenant. Okay, then another woman came and says, and said to him, "Blessed are the womb that bare you and the paps that you did suck." And what did Jesus say? "Yea, rather, blessed is he that believes." Okay, blessed is he that believes. Jesus, again, was removing it. Okay, it's concerning from the flesh, the moral code of the flesh, to that which is of faith in himself. Okay, this is the kind of Jesus that the world wants. They want a Jesus that resolve their issues, that stand on part of their aspiration, that provide himself as a role model for the aspiration, okay, and will also assist them, okay, in opposing the principle on other people for the purpose of control, okay, or to dominate or to destroy. Now, the beast is going to do that during the millennium, not during the millennium, but during the tribulation. The beast is going to control. He's going to dominate by the mark, by his mark, 666, which is exactly that, 666. That's why it says there in the book of Revelation, "Now here's wisdom." In other words, he's saying, for you people who want to look too deeply and to look and try to figure out what the number is, this is the number, 666. Okay, it has nothing to do with electronics. It has nothing to do with technologies. It has nothing to do with anything okay, that is of man's invention. It's 666, exactly what it is. It says it, and that's what it is. It's nothing more than that. It's not going to be in digital. Okay? It's not going to be in any kind of code. It's going to be exactly what it said, 666. Okay? So that instead of trying to spend your whole life trying to figure out what the mark of the beast is, okay, that's why the Spirit of the Lord says, this is wisdom. It's nothing more than what this is, what I'm telling you it is. It's this mark. The simplicity of it escapes the intellect, because the intellect always wants to try to see real deep into everything. And the Lord says, what are you looking for so deep for? It's right here. Okay, and that's what they do also the Messiah. When Jesus came, okay, the wisdom of God says, this is he. That's what Jesus said, I am he. He said it right to them, I am he. He explained to them, yes, I am come, I am the Christ. They asked him plainly, and he told them plainly. He told them many times, yes, I am he that the prophets wrote of. Now, all the prophets wrote of me, all the way back to Adam, to Seth, to Enoch, okay, the things of the Jubilees, okay, and the things that Abraham experienced, and the revelations that he received. And all the prophets received this, that he would come and perform these things. Okay, and he came in the fulfillment of those things. Okay, but the Pharisees were always looking for something else. Okay, there says, well, this is too simple. Okay, you can't be him. Okay, because if you were really the true Messiah, okay, then you would stand in the part of our aspiration. Okay, now John the Baptist didn't stand in part of the aspiration. He came out from among them, being of Levi, okay, being the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, which is a Levite. Okay, being a Levite, he came out from among them, separated from them, and prepared from them, and then came in the fullness of time when he entered into his lot. Okay, and John the Baptist was establishing the minds of the people that their transition was going to take place, but the transition was not going to be the improvement of the present system. Okay, and that's why he said to them, "Woe unto you, you vipers! Okay, woe unto you, vipers! Repent, you vipers!" Okay, now Jesus said the same thing. Because the knowledge that they possessed, they utilized it for the moral code, and they used and they established a whole system that would support that moral code. It would support the signature, it would support the aspiration, okay, it would support the tradition, and it created a whole tradition and custom which was oppressive to the people. Okay, it became oppressive to the people. And we can see that today. Okay, that which was born, okay, the Pharisaical, okay, and also that system that the Sadducees adopted, okay, as it was oppressive to those people at the time, it became a barrier to them. It's the same thing today. The established religious system became a barrier to faith because it removed the hearts of the people from the fear of God into the fear of man, okay, and removed everything from the rhythm of the Spirit to the rhythm of nature. Okay, the rhythm of nature, to where now they believe that by offering physical things that God will reciprocate to the physical things of their aspirations as tithe, baptism, and communion, okay, and Sabbath day observation. Okay, but anything that's marked by time or that springs of the soil has been accursed by God. Okay, the only thing that He sanctifies is the Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we go back to verse 28. So ought men to love their wives, even as their own bodies. Okay, and of course, the love right here has to do with a form of engagement for improvement and increase, okay, for pleasure. Okay, so here, the Lord provided Himself, okay, as the truth, as Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He provided Himself, okay, as concerning that the direction which would give order, and the knowledge which, of course, would establish that and confirm that, and provide Himself as that form of increase, a form of contact for increase for the pleasure of God. So when we say the pleasure of God, we're talking about, okay, that which meets His expectation, okay, which our Father confirmed on the time when Jesus was baptized and when Jesus went up into the mount, okay, with Peter, James, and John, where He says, when He said at the waters, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Okay, God at that point was taking ownership for the and to establish the record in Jesus Christ for our faith today. Okay, not in the physical waters, but when He came into the waters, He came as a bridge. Okay, not as a breach, because when death entered the world, it came as a breach. When Jesus came into the world, it came as that bridge. Okay, and He bridged it in Himself. So he that loves his wife loves himself. Okay, through this form of consent, there's increase in the kingdom of God. And as we consent to the knowledge which we have received, okay, as the scriptures say there in the book of Isaiah, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. We can also see that by this knowledge that there's going to be increase of his house. Okay, as you read in the next chapter. Okay, in chapter 53 of Isaiah, we can see that he shall see his seed. Now you see that there in Isaiah 53, around verse 11 and 12. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So we can see that Jesus, when he came into this dimension, acted as that bridge for increase. Now look at chapter 54. "Sing, O barren, you did not bear, and break forth and cry. You did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than she that has a husband." So we can see that the spirit will increase greater than that which the flesh did. Okay, the spirit will increase that which the flesh could not do, because the flesh was restricted because of death. It could not continue because of death. But here he says, as the prophet said, he shall see his seed. Okay, speaking that Jesus himself will increase his house through contact with us. Okay, but it's not going to stop. It doesn't end there. Okay, he rose from the dead. Okay, so he provided himself as that point of contact, so that he also be that seed that will increase the house of God, okay, in the holy city, New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. Okay, we can see that also in the book of Revelation. Okay, that the holy city can take on the personification of an individual called the Lamb's wife. Okay, it can take on that personification and image. Okay, and God, okay, who is spirit and who is also flame, for it is also written that God is a consuming fire. So the flame took on the form of the flesh, okay, as the holy city can take on the form of a woman. See, and that form of a woman, okay, will be which the holy city takes on, okay, is also girded with the righteousness of the saints. Okay, what she is girded with is what we have on. We are clothed with the righteousness of that holy city, so that we will have access into the holy city for the purpose of increase. Okay, so you can see the parallel there. So no man ever hates his own flesh. Okay, as concerning the body, and that's why Jesus came to redeem it. Okay, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. So we can see again the parallel there, being joined to Him. Okay, and we're joined to Him through the ministry of His angels, okay, the principalities and powers, okay, which God has assigned for the purpose of this form of communion and communication and fellowship. Okay, fellowship has to do with the exchanging of substance. The communion is that which we are ingesting for the purpose of this fellowship. We can see this also in Revelation chapter 3, around verse 20, 21, 22, where He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him," all right, "and I will sup in him and him with me." So we can see a form of exchange, fellowship, and increase. Okay, so through this form of communion of the Spirit, okay, we now are granted access to His throne. So he that overcomes will grant to sit with me in my throne. Okay, and sitting in His throne is becoming a part of that Godhead. Okay, becoming part of the Godhead, that we be as we are appointed to be gods. As Jesus said Himself, did not I say that ye are gods and all you children of the Most High? And which means God was saying that. You see, Jesus is God, and He said that. Did I not say that ye are gods and all you children of the Most High? Okay, you are the very offspring of God. Okay, because you were created in His image and likeness. Okay. And so being now created in His image and likeness, we were assigned to be joined back to Him, but only after we went through the time of testing of this dimension. Well, now we see this in verse 30. We are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. Okay, that means we carry the design, of His likeness within us. We carry the image of that design within us, and we do this with faith. Okay, because as long as we carry that likeness of faith within us, we are called sons of God. Now the Apostle John brings it out. The Apostle John brings it out in 1 John chapter 3, where he says, "Beloved, now are you the sons of God. It does not yet appear we shall be, because even though we're in this form of flesh, which death has been assigned to, yet we carry the life of God within us. That likeness is that likeness of faith. We having the same spirit of faith." As the Apostle Paul brings out in Romans, we having that same spirit of faith, we're following the same pattern of reciprocation, as also our Father used in creating these worlds, the heavens and the earth, a set pattern, the pattern which is also the pattern of His oath, Jesus Christ is the oath of the Lord. All right, let's go on here. We'll bring more of that out later on. It's concerning the oath of the Lord. But in verse 31, he was asked, "For this cause shall man leave his father and his mother." See, there's a form of abandonment for the purpose of renewal. As the scriptures also say in Revelations 18:4, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate." You have to come out from that of the flesh, that which you're born into, and be joined unto me, which has to do with the kingdom of the Spirit. This is the same thing which Isaiah said in Isaiah 52, the Spirit of the Lord speaking through Isaiah said, "Come out from among them, be separate." You bear the vessels of the Lord, you have to be separate. You cannot bear into God's house the knowledge of the system of the world. The knowledge of the system of the world is unsanctified and will not be acceptable, because the knowledge of the system of the world works with a moral code, and if we try to offer unto God ourself in the form of the moral code, that's an abomination to God. And now this is what the beast is going to do in the book of Revelation. Not only is he going to assign himself as being the point of contact for all those of this dimension of the during the seventh week, but he also is going to assist the moral code. He's going to say, flatter the intellect, with false knowledge, and thereby, as the scriptures say, blaspheming God, the tabernacle, and those which are in heaven. Because he's going to establish himself as a point of contact. He's going to change the ordinance of the temple from the things of the spirit to the things of the flesh. And he's going to blaspheme those which are in heaven, as saying that they were removed because they did not represent God. That's what the beast is going to say, that mostly after the rapture. That we were forcibly removed because we did not believe his testimony. But the opposites can be true, because the evil, the wicked should be rooted out of the earth, the sinners should be rooted out of the earth, but the righteous shall inherit the earth. We see that during the millennium and also during the tenth week. So here we see there's a form of abandonment for increase. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife." That which God has assigned for increase. See the word "joined" there. The word "joined" has to do with that we are building the tabernacle of God. By being joined to Him. Okay, so what we have done is that we have separated ourselves from Satan's tethering and from Satan's kingdom, okay, by Jesus Christ. And now they too should be one flesh. Okay, now the word one flesh, we see the same thing taking place in Revelation chapter 21. Okay, because where it says, okay, now in the holy city there is no temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, okay, are the temple of it. And we see that there's no other need for the light of the sun, nor the moon, nor the stars, nor of any other thing, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light of it. Okay, so we can see the Lamb meaning the flesh, and the Lord God Almighty meaning the Spirit. Okay, that God is going to be enjoining these two things, flame and water, together. Okay, we see this also in the construction of the holy city. Shall be one flesh. Through this union, the holy city of God, the holy city New Jerusalem, okay, which Abraham looked forward to, and we are being children of Abraham, look forward to that same for that same reward, and we live with that same expectation. Okay, that we're going to enter into the holy city for the increase of God, for we do not look of any memorial to established by the moral code in this dimension, because those which are the sinner wants to establish a memorial of his moral code in this dimension. Okay, that's why they built great cities. Okay, that's why they established great works as Nimrod. Okay, they established great works for the purpose. They make these great works by the power of the moral code, in order that people would savor the knowledge, okay, of their time here. Okay, and that's an abomination to the Lord, because that's honoring the dead. Okay, to honor the dead, okay, is to flatter and to take on the yoke of the memorial and the heritage of the sinner. Okay, that is the honoring of the dead. Okay, which we don't. We honor the life. We honor him that not only died but rose again. Okay, so our memorial and our heritage exists in the bosom of our Father, so that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. See, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's where a memorial is, and that's where heritage exists. Now in verse 32, the Apostle Paul says, "This is a great mystery." It seems rather simple, okay, but the mystery of it has to do with the in-depthness of this, okay, the depth of this. It says also in the book of Romans, okay, it's concerning the depth, the deep things of God. And when we talk about the deep things of God, we're talking about why is this plan unfolding in this manner at this time? Okay, because what's unfolding, what we're seeing is the blossoming, okay, of the seed that was planted, okay, since the very beginning. Okay, now that seed is Jesus Christ, and that seed is also called the oath of the Lord or the vow of the Lord. Okay, and this seed was planted in the bosom of the Father, okay, so that our origin becomes our destiny. If our origin is the flesh, our destiny is the grave, and we're taken from the dust and we return to the dust. But if our origin is in the bosom of the Father, okay, which of course we select by faith, then also our destiny, which is by faith, is also in the bosom of the Father. Okay, and there our works, okay, will be rewarded. Okay, but the works of the wicked shall rot, because the memorial, okay, had to do with the moral code and physical things of this dimension. Okay, they had to utilize the physical things of this dimension, okay, in order to stand forth, okay, to set themselves as a pattern. Okay, every individual wants to set himself as a pattern for others to follow. This is seen throughout all society. Okay, and every society follows that same pattern. No matter where you're at, okay, whether it be China or Russia, okay, Europe, Asia, Africa, or United States, okay, no matter where you're at, okay, you see that same thing. The children learn the skills of their parent. Okay, in the United States, okay, the skills are as concerning, okay, sports. Okay, but in South America, the skills has to do with concerning family trade. Okay, whether it may just to say South America or Africa or some other or other nations. Okay, what I'm saying is that there's a parallel there, that we always want to pass on to the next generation a memorial of our existence. Okay, and the sinners take consolation in that. Okay, so that's why they want to. This is what the Watchers taught them, by the way. But they want to, as they want to establish a memorial of their existence by writing it in stone, okay, and also the presence of their children today. Okay, so also the flesh wants to do the same thing. But God says, I will remove every memorial of the flesh, because all their works shall be burned by fire. Their works, okay, are not acceptable to God, and that's why they should be cast in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. Okay, be cast in the lake of fire, because it was the adversary, the adversary was the bridge of their aspirations, because flattery is that bridge to the aspiration, as grace is the bridge to our faith. As in the God's kingdom, faith, grace, and faith is that bridge, and Satan's kingdom is flattery. Okay, flattery, fantasy, and finance. Okay, the imagination. Okay, the things of this world. Okay, but in verse 32, he talks about this is a great mystery. How this whole thing was laid out and prepared in the bosom of the Father. Now, the Apostle John also said the same thing in the Gospel of John. Okay, and that's in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. Where he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, the same was in the beginning with God. So, in the beginning was the Word, which has to do with everything originated with the bosom of the Father, the whole plan. Okay, so in the beginning was the Word, where it originated, and the Word was with God, where it was initiated, and the Word was God, where it was where it is sustained. And that's what Jesus said. When I depart, I'm going to come to you, but I'm going to come to you in a different form. Now, this time when I came to you, I came in the form of your likeness, which is flesh. But next time I come, I'm going to come in the form of flame, okay, which is the Comforter. Okay, this Comforter, okay, which is this new image here. Okay, this Comforter, which is, which even though I'm with you right now, but I shall be in you, okay, is going to come the day of Pentecost. Okay. Now, he's going to assist you in this transition, okay, from the tethering from the tethering of Satan's kingdom unto the tethering of my kingdom, from the rhythm of the flesh to the rhythm of the spirit, and from darkness unto light. Okay. And so in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, okay, of how the breach was made, how the bridge was provided, okay, through Jesus Christ. Now in verse 33, as we get ready to complete today's lesson, he says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Okay, and the wife sees that she reverence her husband. So here we can see that, again, we see the parallel. Okay, that as we reverence, as we honor God, okay, reverencing and honoring, not murmuring against or trying to wrestle God into the perspective of our aspiration. This is what people do, even in their prayer life. When we were in a false religious system, okay, our prayer centered upon our aspirations. And you notice that when people made long prayers, and this is what Jesus brought out, beware when they stand in a street corner, make long prayers. Okay, they make long prayers because they're trying to wrestle God into position of their aspiration, which reflects their moral code. Okay, that's an abomination to God. Praying long is not an abomination, okay, as what they were using in their prayer. Okay, we used the things which God's provided for us in prayer. That's why we pray in tongues, and we walk by faith. Okay, we walk by the tools which God gives to us. Okay, and by praying in the Spirit, it removes, you can say, it removes it from the aspiration, the moral code, okay, into that which has to do with faith. Okay, that's why God provided this tool for us. Okay, for our priesthood, because our priesthood, right at this present time, requires no physical substance for reciprocation, as he did in that first covenant under Moses. Under that first covenant, under Moses, okay, what God gave them much cattle, okay, much cattle is concerning oxen and sheep, okay, and goats. And also as concerning fruit of fruit of trees. Okay, God gave them those things so that they would offer to God those things. But God has provided us Jesus Christ. Now, under that first covenant, they offered unto God those things which are in part, But now under this covenant, we offer those things which are of his fullness. As the Apostle John testified, of his fullness have we received. Well, what was his fullness we received? Grace for grace. Okay, the knowledge of the Spirit, okay, is provided for us for our reciprocation at this present time in this priesthood, okay, as also Melchizedek's priesthood. Melchizedek brought down into this dimension a form of knowledge for reciprocation, which was highly different than that which was earthborn. Okay, because that which is earthborn, okay, had to do with fruitful seasons. Okay, had to do with the things which surrounded man's peace and security. Okay, now that's what the beast is going to do. The beast, the gospel of the beast, is going to address man's peace and security. Okay, but it's outside a covenant. Okay, but the language is going to be the same. Okay, but it's a different temple. Okay, the language is going to be the same, but it's going to be a different God. Okay, as I brought out earlier. Okay, those that worship Baal, okay, which is the devil, use the same language as those that worshipped in the temple of Solomon. Same language, but different spirit. Now the Apostle Paul brought out the same thing. Okay, it's concerning another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. Okay, the knowledge is the same, but it's a different Jesus that they're worshiping. The knowledge is the same, but it's a different God they're worshiping. Okay, they have the same kind of Bible we have. They use the same language we have as concerning Scripture. Okay, but it's a different God they're in service to. Okay, because it's tethered to a different prince, not to the prince of life, but to the prince of death, because the tools that they're using identify that prince that they're subject to. Okay, because you can identify identify the fruit by the tree that it fell from. Okay, and they, the same thing that Jesus said, you should know them by the fruit. The tools that they're using identify the tree that they came from and to the prince that they're tethered to. Okay, we're using the tools of the kingdom of God. Okay, those things, gifts, callings, graces of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3, 4, and 5. Okay, as also we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay, prayer, preaching, prophecy. Gifts, callings, grace of God, government, truth, and spirit. Okay, this is the fruit of the tree of Christ. Okay, and this is tethered to the kingdom of God, okay, and to the throne of God. Okay, so you shall know them by their fruits. Because he that is spiritual, okay, judges those things. Okay, because he that is spiritual, okay, can judge those things that are spiritual. Okay, but that the carnal person cannot distinguish between what kingdom, okay, that we're expressing. Okay, other than this, if we don't express their aspirations, then they call you of the devil. And when Jesus didn't express the aspirations of the Pharisees, they said, we know who you are. You're a Samaritan. You're born of fornication. You're the devil. Because all you do is hang out with publicans and sinners. And you touch dead bodies and you break the Sabbath day. How can you be our Messiah? Okay, so their whole form of discernment was based upon the aspirations of their religious system, the moral code. Okay, but what did Jesus say? But as he said to Philip, have I been so long time with you? Have you not known me, Philip? Because he that sees me sees my Father. The same grace that I speak is the same grace that you heard. Okay, apart from my presence. Okay, that's the voice of the Father. Okay, you know, so we're able to identify the fruit, you're able to identify the kingdom or the system, okay, which nurtures the fruit. Okay, so those that use carnal things are called carnal-minded. Okay, carnal things, which means which requires things which are partial, things of the soil, things not marked by time, things that death has entered into. Okay, but we glory in the Lord. Okay, as the Apostle Paul said. But he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. If we that use the tools of the Spirit, rejoice with the things of the Spirit. And this is what we're building with. And the Apostle Paul again brings that out in Philippians chapter 4. Whereas he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. Okay. So in closing, bring these things to our attention. The Apostle Paul saying these things, all the tools of the Lord follow one design, which is Jesus Christ, which is our tree. Okay. So the way this is the way in the original pattern, so therefore it is true. All the tools of his grace free us from falsehoods, so therefore it is therefore honest. All the tools of the Spirit free us from condemnation, therefore it is just. All the tools of his glorious kingdom, see, are free of deceit, so therefore it is pure. All the tools which he blesses his saints with to beautify us, okay, by his virtues of light, are lovely. And all the tools which proceed from his glorious throne, see, beget faith, okay, in our heart. So therefore, it is of good report.